known as the Edomites. And the Edomites, they became, was it the Edomites? Before I forget again. They became the enemies of the children of Jacob. I'm pointing this out to let you know that God's blessings are not contingent upon what we do. The blessing of salvation for us to come to the knowledge of Christ, they are not contingent upon us being right before God. Some people in their own theology say that, well, God had looked from before the foundation of the earth was laid, from very way back then. Because God is a God who knows everything, he saw into the future that this person will be good. And because he saw, knew that that person will be good, he saved that person. No, 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 no. What the Bible told us was that before they did anything, meaning that before they even knew that they were going to be born, God had preordained it that this will happen. God had preordained our salvation that we will be in Christ one day. And this day we are in Christ. Now, let me say something about Ephraim. Ephraim was blessed by God through Jacob. But Pastor Aladino pointed out, Ephraim did not keep his blessing. There was a passage we were reading in the Psalms that Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, they were ready for the battle. Their bows had been plucked, that their bows were ready. And in the day of battle, what did they do? They turned back from battle. The day when God placed an expectation upon them, the day when God expected of them that, look, what I've been depositing in you, I will call it of you, they turned back in battle. And later on in the book of the prophets, we saw how Ephraim, God's displeasure with Ephraim was now trumpeted by the prophets. And if you go to the book of Revelations, which I don't think Pastor Aladino mentioned, in the book of Revelations, when the angel was talking about the 144,000, well, 12,000 from each tribe that will come into heaven, that will come into the kingdom of God, of each tribe that was mentioned, the only two tribes that were alive at that time that were not mentioned was the tribe of Ephraim and the tribe of Dan. And if you go back into the Old Testament again, you will see how Dan, the tribe of Dan, though blessed of the Lord, though apportioned a land, a portion of the land of Israel by God, they did not keep their blessing. And it was as if God now cursed them, that they would not inherit what God had promised them right from the beginning. Instead of the tribe of Ephraim that was talked about, Manasseh, who was blessed above, below the younger brother, he was mentioned in the book of Revelations. The Bible says that instead of Ephraim being mentioned, now Joseph, the tribe of Joseph. Was there any tribe of Joseph in the Old Testament? No. The name of the father now replaced that name that should have been as the foundation of the 144,000 that were supposed to enter. What am I saying? Brethren, God blesses us. In the book of Philippians, we read that we should walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. Right? Who should walk it out? Is it God who walks out our salvation with fear and trembling? There's one thing that God does. He walks in us to make us willing and able to do his will. But it's incumbent upon us also to yield to him and to be obedient to him. Sometimes we think that grace is such that God will do the what we are supposed to do. No, that's not grace. Grace is that God has given us the ability to do it, that which we were not able to do before. But it's still incumbent upon us as Christians to walk into what God has prepared for us. It's still incumbent upon us as Christians to possess the possession that God has possessed for us. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they lost the dominion that God gave to man. In the Garden of Eden, God said that, Adam, you have dominion over all of my creation. You have dominion. What is dominion? Authority. Authority. You be the king of this domain. God gave Adam and Eve the dominion over all the works of the hands of God. And through sin, man lost that dominion. God has blessed each and every one of us according to the second Adam. Who is that second Adam? Jesus Christ. And giving us a dominion to reign over his own kingdom. Because the Bible tells us that we are joint what? Heirs. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so we have been given an authority by the virtue of the fact that Christ died for us. And we are now in him. It is incumbent upon us, brethren, to walk in the dominion that he has given us. If not, we will be like princes living as slaves. We will be like princes living as slaves. Today, I want to look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. In line with what season we are in church, just in these 3 days of waiting upon the Lord, of praying, of fasting. And I'd like us together just to look at what does it mean? I was asking myself the question a few days ago, you know, because When I do anything, a Christian practice, I like to know, okay, what am I doing? What is the reason for what I'm doing? And not just do it because everybody is doing it. You know, it used to be because one church called a 40-day fast, every other church will call a 40-day fast. You know, one church called a 100-day fast, every other church will say, let's fast 100 days. You know, but why? Did God ask us to fast 100 days? God can ask somebody to fast 100 days. But if you are fasting 100 days, when God hasn't asked you to fast 100 days, what are you doing? You are doing hunger strike. Because God has asked one person to do something, doesn't mean that everybody will now copy the same thing. You know? And I was asking myself, okay, when we say we are fasting and praying and waiting on the Lord, what does it mean to wait on the Lord? When I wait on the Lord, what do I do when I wait on the Lord? How do I wait on the Lord? In the Bible, I know that there's a blessing to waiting upon the Lord. But what does it mean? What does it mean? When I wait on the Lord, okay, when I go to a restaurant, there's some people call waiters. And there's a reason why they call them waiters. You know, they don't come and say, Safalaka, yeah, order. Order your food. Let me go and bring it. Eh? Order now. You're looking at me. They don't do it in Nigeria. What does a waiter do? They come, they greet you, and they wait. They wait. Do they hurry you up to order? No, they don't. That is why they are called waiters. Because they wait on you, and they wait for you. Please mark those two words. They wait on you, and they wait for you. And there's a difference in meaning. Now, when somebody waits on you, what it means is that that person will bring your food to you, that is waiting on you. When you have finished eating, will you take the plates to the kitchen? Yeah, but you do that at home, don't you? Yeah. Huh? Simi, do you do that at home? Good, you better. So when you finished eating, they will take your plates and take it to the kitchen. That is somebody who is waiting on you. When you are about to order, they will wait for you until you have placed your order. I know in America, some of them will say, okay, we'll give you 5 minutes. They'll go and they'll come again. But in a good restaurant, they would wait until you place your order. Not, okay, you're not ready yet, Abby. You're not ready. Okay, I'll come back. That is waiting for you. The Bible tells us that we, and in the Psalm 37 that we read today, in many, many instances, David talked about waiting on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord, they will inherit the land. They will inherit the earth. In Isaiah chapter 40, let's open there, which is our text for today. Kanye, would you read Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31 for us? Or start from verse 29 through 31. No, let her open it. We'll wait for her. We will wait for her. Don't always deliver them. Let them experience it for themselves. Isaiah 40, verses 29, 30, and 31. Sorry? No, from verse 29 to 31.
He gives strength to those who are tried. He gives power to those who are weak. People become worn out and get tired. Even the best of them trip and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will receive new strength and will fly high as eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not grow weak.
Okay, can you read it one more time? And I want you all of you to listen so that when I ask you questions, you can answer.
He gives strength to those who are tired. He gives power to those who are weak. Even the young people become worn out and get tired. Even the best of them trip and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will receive new strength. They will fly as high as the eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not grow weak.
Amen. Amen. In these 3 days that we've said we should wait upon the Lord, as a church, it's not because God has said that on the 1st to 3rd of October, wait on me. It is because there's a practice that Paul talked about in the New Testament, and that is the practice of what is called a fasted life. And it is a very, very good thing for us as Christians to live a fasted life. That is, from time to time, we'll come to the place where we call ourselves away to fast and to wait upon the Lord. And I go back to the questions I ask myself again. What does it mean to wait upon the Lord? What does it mean to wait for the Lord, to wait on the Lord? How do I wait on the Lord? Okay. In the last verse there, it says that those who wait upon the Lord, what will they do? Those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall renew their strength. That is the first thing. Those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Who renews their strength? They, right? Who? The Lord. You know something, when I was reading it, that came to me. Because there's no comma or anything. If you look at it, take on the out. But those who wait, take that out. What it says? The Lord shall renew their strength. It is not we who renews our strength. It's the Lord who renews our strength. That's the first thing. The Bible says that they shall mount up with wings as what? The eagle. And we look at that. They will run. And as Cain said, they will not get tired. The King James says they will run and they will not be weary. They will walk. What does your own version say? They would walk and trip. They would walk and they would not faint. Now, those are the results of the person who has waited upon the Lord. And it is from that, you know, sometimes you'll ask the question, and when you do not know what the answer is, you look at the answer, you know, you can look at the answer. The Bible tells us the answer. And then go back to refer to the answer to the question you were asking in the first place. Now, he says that those who wait upon the Lord, they will do what? Start with, they will renew their strength. And the analogy of this renewing their strength comes from that of the eagle that he was talking about. On the land, there's an animal that is called the king of animals. What is that animal called? The lion. How many of you have watched The Lion King? You watch all the... Wonderful. On land, the animal that is called the lion of animals is the king of animals is the lion. In the air, do you know the bird that is called the king of birds? The eagle. The eagle is called the king of birds. And it is this analogy that answers a lot of the questions I had about what does it mean to wait upon the Lord? Because the first thing I know is that strength is renewed, right? Strength is renewed. Why would a person need to renew their strength? Sorry? Because they use their energy to do different things. Okay. Christianity 101. Sister Bola, we believe as Christians that you are a tripartite person. You are made up of body, soul, and spirit. Some people lump soul and spirit together and consider it one entity. Whether we lump it all together or we don't, you are made up of body, soul, and spirit. When the spirit is within the body has life. When the spirit has left the body doesn't have life. As much as you walk and your body gets tired, there's something you expend of your spirit that needs to be renewed also. Many times the Lord Jesus Christ, he will go about healing the sick. And shortly after or before he goes about doing miracles, what does he do? He will steal away to pray, to wait on his Father. That is because it is not only his physical strength that is sapped. There is a spiritual vitality in a person who is of the Lord that is spent. How do I know? Remember the time there are people milling around the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody was just around him, tight space. And a woman said that if only I could touch the hem of his garment. And as that woman touched the hem of the garments, the Lord Jesus Christ went, somebody touched me. The disciples were like, everybody is milling around you. How can you say somebody touched? Everybody is touching you. You are saying somebody touched me. Said, somebody touched me. How did he know that there was a touch that was different from another touch? Because something went out of his body in the healing of that woman. And he knew it. There's something that you get when you wait upon the Lord, that in spiritual exercises you expend, and you need to be renewed and refreshed once again. There's a strength of the Spirit that we are given as Christians, that when we fail to wait upon God, when we fail in the place of prayerlessness, we become weak spiritually. And I can tell you something, brethren. You see, in the physical, when when animals look for prey, what do they look for? They look for the weak animals. They look for the isolated animals. They look for the sick animals. If you see a stampede of, do you know what they're called? Wildebeests. You know what wildebeest is? There's another name they use for them. Huh? There's a name they call them. It's GNU. GNU. Or NU. I don't know whether it's GNU or NU. It's NU. GNU. GNU. It's NU. The G silent. Okay, thank you. I'm in Nigeria, and so I didn't know. It's called NU, eh? GNU. You said GNU. Okay, Derek, you and Deshola, I want you to look at the dictionary and let us know what its pronunciation is. Okay? No, not now. When the service is over. Okay. So, wild beasts, when they are stampeding, when you have a herd of wild beasts, when they are stampeding, you would not see a lion rush into their midst. Do you know why? Do you know why? They get stampeded. Even lions, they know not to enter the midst of a stampeding herd because they will get killed. That is why they look and wait for those who are either tired, who are lagging behind, or sick because they know they are lagging behind. That is one of the reasons why the Bible tells us, Christians, do not forsake the assembling together of one another. Because when you, as Christians, come into the place of prayer and power, you are like a stampeding herd. But I digress. There's a spiritual energy or power that is expended by those who do spiritual things in prayer. When you begin to pray for nations, when you begin to pray for the salvation of people, salvation of children, salvation of your brethren, when you begin to bind and loose, there is something within you that expends that which the Lord has given to you in strength that needs to be renewed. And if you are a prayerless Christian and you do not renew it, what happens is the devil, the Bible says, he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the people who are first prey to the enemy are the people who have separated themselves from the fellowship of the brethren. And I'm now talking about true fellowship. Not just any ordinary fellowship. Fellowship where there is concerted prayer. Fellowship where people love one another, not backbite one another. Where there is true fellowship, once you start alienating yourself from the fellowship, you begin to lose power. Once you stop praying, you begin to lose power. Then you become the person that the enemy who goes about like a roaring lion looking for whom he may devour, may truly devour. Now, the Bible says so that those who wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. So one, we know that in waiting upon the Lord, our strength is renewed. They will mount up with wings as what? As eagles. We said that eagles are the king of the birds. Eagles are the king of the birds. There was a time I was looking at, you know, those National Geographic programs where you see different animals in their habitat. And there was something that struck me about the eagle, which I did not see about any other bird. You know that eagles, they're carnivorous animals. Eagles, they eat animals, they eat flesh. They kill wild, small animals. Some eagles even are bold enough to kill goats, mountain goats. And there was a time I saw this eagle go after a poisonous snake. And I thought that, wow, this eagle has taken too much. That this snake will surely kill the eagle. And the eagle swooped down. And do you know what the eagle did? It picked up the snake and took it into the air with the snake. And flew off with the snake. The snake was not dead. But you know one thing I noticed? In the air, because the snake could not wiggle like it was on the ground, it had no power. The eagle took the snake into its own territory to do the fights. It did not stay in the territory of the snake. The territory of the snake is on the floor where it has its power, because then it can wiggle as it likes. But the snake could not do anything in the sky. There's a place of fights for you as Christians, that when you take your fight into the territory of the enemy, you first of all have to know how you fight, which is how the eagle fights. The eagle doesn't fight on the domain of the snake. If you want to fight, the Bible tells us that our adversary, the enemy, our adversary, we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. When we face the enemy, come, Satan doesn't come in spiritual form to fight us. He inhabits something to fight us. He inhabits something to fight us. And the person who will fight against the enemy will be the person who, first of all, knows how to fight in their own domain. The person who will fight against Satan will be the person who knows how to fight in their own domain. Okay. The Bible tells us that Satan is the father of what? Lies. When he speaks of a lie, he speaks of his own. And we know that our God is what? Truth. Where do we find truth? In the Word of God. In the Word of God. If you are going to fight Satan, brethren, you see, just as that eagle picked up the snake and went into its own domain, when the enemy came against the Lord Jesus Christ when he was being tempted, what did he fight with? It is written. You bring him into your own territory, in the territory of it is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is written. And that's for you to be able to fight with it is written. You yourself must know what is written. I said, you yourself must know what? What is written. And that is why, brethren, we have to be familiar with the Word of God ourselves. It is not just for reading alone that we've been going through this, reading the Bible and doing quizzes. It's so that we ourselves will be familiar with what is written. The enemy does not understand the language of man. You cannot say punch Satan like some people do. You can't punch Satan, he's a spirit. There's only one place where you can fight him, and that is in the spirits. It is written through the Word of God. Second thing I noticed about the eagle. Those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. How many of you have ever seen eagles fly? You've seen eagles fly. How does the flight of the eagle differ from the flight of other birds? Thank you. The eagle doesn't flap. Once a while, it can flap. But if you see the eagle, 90% of the time, it's just like this, just soaring. All the other birds, how do they fly? They're always walking. The eagle just, and all the other birds, you can see them, is not too far in the sky, so that when you want to shoot a bird, just point your gun, pow, You've gotten him. You cannot get an eagle like that, because where eagles fly, it's very, very high. When you see them flying, they fly very, very high. Other birds, they fly not too far. Where your gun can hit them easily. The example of the eagle. When you have the strength of the Lord, he puts his wings beneath your wings and causes you to soar. Now, let's look at the example of some of the Christians who soared. Joseph. You know that Joseph's brothers, they sold him into slavery, right? When he got to the house of Potiphar, what happened? Two things happened to him. One, Potiphar's wife had a liking to him that was not an ordinary liking. Two, Potiphar made him the head of all the servants and the head of his house. And he said, look, only my wife is the only thing that I will not share with you. Every other thing you have dominion over. How did Joseph get to that point? Did he pass an exam? What did he do to get to that point? Sorry?
He just did good work.
Let men see your good works that they may do what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. There was something about the life of Joseph. And the first thing about the life of Joseph was that he served God. He served God. And because he served God, he didn't need to fly for him to soar. It was the Lord who lifted him. Because when he was in the house of Potiphar, he was lifted. When he got to prison, what happened again? He was lifted. And from prison, he was lifted into the house of Pharaoh. So there's something about those who wait upon the Lord that it's not you having to fight your battle. It's not you having to strive how every other person strives to get to where you want to be. Sometimes just wait. Wait upon the Lord. Wait for the Lord. And what other people are struggling to get, in no time, your Father will cause you to have it. Let me tell you a story about when I was in college. When I was in college, my first 2 years of college, and I'm talking about when I was in Nigeria now, when I started animal science, I wasn't born again. The animal science degree was 4 years when you went from, after your A-levels was 4 years. The first 2 years, I was not born again. And because I was not born again, I didn't read. Sometimes night before exams, you'll find me at the cinema theater at Trenchard Hall or what it was, the cinema hall. And because of that, I had what we call carryover. You see, carryover is when you failed in a particular subject, you had to retake that subject the next year. Now, the load of next year will not diminish. You will just add to your load. And so the more you added to your load, the more weighed down you will be. So, in my first 2 years in college, I carried over a lot. In my third year in college, I came to know the Lord. In my third year in college, the Lord found me, and I was born again. I was born again. And I do not know for whatever reason, I went from being the person who went to party, went to cinema, to the person who now began to read. And in my third and fourth year of college, I did, if I were just to take my first, third and fourth year of college alone, I would have come out with either a first class or a second class upper. But because of all the baggage of the years in Egypt that I carried over, I could not undo what had been done. If it was the first 2 years alone, I might have come out with a third class or, you know, you know what they call let my people go? When you don't have a third class, they just say, okay, you have come to university, let them go. But the work I did in my final 2 years tried to compensate for the first 2 years of famine, and I came out with a second class lower, Who told you that? Eh? What do you come out with? I know, you said, oh. But what I'm saying is that, you see, those last 2 years, I knew that there was something about the way God lifted me. That the work I did, it was as if God blessed it with something extraordinary. It wasn't that I had to put in so much that I wasn't sleeping at all. It was the same number of hours that anybody else was reading. But then the Lord blessed the time I spent. When you begin to wait upon the Lord, there is a strength that is renewed in you, that where other people are flapping and desiring and not getting, the Lord will make yours easy. I'm not saying that is how it happens all the time, but you can count on it, that if it happens otherwise, the Lord will let you know. There's something that comes to a Christian easily for those who wait upon him. Remember Elijah, or was it Elijah or Elisha, at the brook of Cherith, where the Lord fed him by the ravens. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ preached to 3,000, 4,000, and it came night time and there was no food. What did he do? He divided food amongst them. Remember in the desert, when the children of Israel, when they began to clamor and for food, that they were hungry, there's no food here. What did he do? He caused manna to fall from heaven. That is the way the Lord works in the life of those who wait upon him. There's a lack that normal people will have that you will not have because you wait upon the Lord. There's also a thought thing I noticed about the eagle. The eagle is able to see its prey from miles away. They say that the eagle can see a spot on the ground from a mile away. Do you know what a mile away is? Do we know what a mile away is? You know Crescent City, where we have something? That's about, it's less than a mile. It's not even up to a mile. It's not up to a mile. So for you to be able to see a quarter at Crescent City, let them put a quarter there for you to identify what's there. So you can imagine what the eyesight of an eagle is. An eagle is able to spot its prey from way above in the skies, see a little mouse or something on the ground, and come with speed and swoop down. There are different types of sight which God gives to his children. For those who wait upon him, their eyesight will be sharpened. You see, there is a hind sight that we learn from. There's an insight that instructs us. And there's a foresight that causes us to see where other people don't. For we as the children of God, the kind of sight that we have when we wait upon the Lord is not the sight that everybody else has. Some people will ask you, everybody is looking at the same thing. How did you figure that out? Bible tells us that it is the Lord who gives the knowledge of witty inventions. Where other people are struggling with a problem, you will just see that there is something that God gives you that you're able to figure it out. Where other people are making the same mistake over and over concerning the same thing, there's a sight of hindsight that the Lord gives you that you would not be stepping into the same mistake over and over again. There's an insight called the insight of wisdom, which other people might not have, but which you will have because you wait upon the Lord. There's something called wisdom. And wisdom and earthly knowledge, they're not the same thing. You see, knowledge is when you have understanding about your subject's domain. You can have knowledge of chemistry. You can have knowledge of calculus. You can have knowledge of physics, but wisdom is very different. Wisdom is the ability to know how to react, what to say in every situation. Somebody comes to you. Sister Folake, me and my sister, we are always fighting. We're always fighting. Once I say two, she'll say three. I say three, she'll say four. What can I do? And Sister Folake, you will tell the person, you see, when you begin to fight, just do something. Take a sip of water and don't let it go until evening. That is wisdom. Because when you don't see anything, you can't see anything. Will fights happen? You will happen now. It will happen. And it can be, that brother Babs, he always riles me. When he says this, just drink a sip of water. And only let it out when I tell you to. God gave Solomon both wisdom and knowledge. Both wisdom and knowledge. Because the Bible told us that the knowledge of agriculture, the knowledge of how things work, Solomon had it. The wisdom to know that, look, a woman who has given birth to a child, carry that child for 9 months, will not just say, no, dispense with the life of the child easily. Cut it into two and let us share. Mm-mm, that won't be the mother. It is a foreigner that will say that. The mother will say, whatever, just let her have it. At least I can see the life child. That is the mother. That is wisdom. There's a sight that the Lord will give you as a Christian when you take the time to wait upon the Lord that other people will not have. There are mistakes that others make that you will, when you wait upon the Lord, you will not be falling into the same thing. The Bible tells us, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. There is a blessing to wait upon the Lord. You will mount up with wings as the eagle. The last thing the eagle does, when the, you know that birds, they shed their feathers. After some time, when the eagle's feathers are becoming old, they said that the eagle goes to a very, very high place where it cannot be disturbed by anybody and plucks out its own feathers and will not move from that place until new feathers now grow out. And when those new feathers grow out, they said that the eagle is like a young eagle again. It might be an old eagle, but when new feathers come out, its flight changes, everything about it changes. It's like its strength has come back again. There is a blessing to waiting upon the Lord. Because every day we do. We want the Lord to bless us. But our generation is what they call a microwave generation. If you want your food hot, you want it when? Now. If you want to starch your clothes, you don't put cassava and boil it in hot water again. What do you use? Spray it and have it now. If you want to talk to Sister Folake, you don't take a drive to her house. You just do what? Call her now. If I want to see Sister Buki, I will look at the phone and FaceTime her now. Our generation is a now generation. And now and wait, there are two opposite ends of the spectrum. A waiter who is waiting on you and waiting for you, they want you to order now. Because they will help you. You know this one? This one is a good one. You can order this one. Wait, let me read it myself. They want everything now, now, now. But there is a practice There is a place where the Lord Himself takes us, where when we learn to seek His face in the place of waiting. And what do you do when you wait upon the Lord? It's simple. All you do is just seek His face. Seek His face. Sometimes you will talk to Him. Sometimes you will allow Him to talk. You know, there's a practice that when we're in a private place, private rooms, and we want to pray, we just keep on talking. And we don't allow God any room to minister unto our hearts. That's not waiting. When you wait for somebody, what are you waiting for the person to do? To respond or give you instruction. So when you wait upon the Lord, I will dare say, it is more of you allowing God to talk than you bringing your request before God. I will dare say, it is more of you seeking who God is, wanting to know more about Him, than you telling Him about yourself. It is more of letting Him speak to your life and give you solutions than you telling Him all the problems you have. The waiting that brings about a blessing of renewed strength is allowing God to do rather than you doing everything before Him. We shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. Those two things, they go together. We shall run and not be weary. The people who run, it's because the Lord has prepared them to run. The people who walk, it's because the Lord has prepared them to walk. But there's a weariness to the soul when you are not renewed and you keep on running, you keep on walking. We have to take time out to wait upon the Lord. That is one of the reasons why we take time out to fast and to pray. It's so that our strength can be renewed of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. May the Lord give us insight and foresight through His word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for that which You have taught us in this verse in Your word, teaching us that it is You who renews strength, that though we may have strength as the young people have, but one day the strength of man will fail, because even the young people, their strength fails. True strength is to wait upon You so that our strength can be renewed of You. True strength is to mount up with wings as eagles, as You are the wind under our wings. True strength is to run and not to be weary, because we are being constantly renewed of You. So, Father, having learnt this, teach us what it means individually to wait upon You. We wait upon You collectively as a church. Our strength can be renewed as a church, while as individuals we're still weak. Lord, in our closets, in our homes, teach us what it means to wait upon You. Teach us how to wait upon You, Father, so that we might be strengthened in the Spirit and we might be able to fight the battles that are before us and be victorious. Your word tells us that those who endure till the very end are those who will be saved. Endurance, Father, grant it unto us, we pray. Because daily we see the onslaught of the enemy in our world. Daily we are weary in our souls. Daily our strength is sapped in work. And we know, Father, it's only You who can renew that strength, both physically and spiritually. And so we pray, Lord, even in the things that we have learned as a result of waiting upon You, May we truly wait upon you. This we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Can we all stand and say the grace?